Hebrews chapter number 13. A couple of things, church family, for us. Make sure we engage as a church family. This week, to be in South Carolina for Sam's second surgery. If all goes well with that surgery on Wednesday, she will be on bed rest for about 6 weeks. And so I'm going to encourage you to make a note for Wednesday, be praying for the Holdas. Traveling back, they're going to fly back. That is going to be a daunting task post-surgery to go through a flight, trying to secure a neck and not moving too much back into Wisconsin later this week. In light of surgery, I'm saying that, I want to also encourage us to be engaged with Jan Croker this week. So she had surgery a couple weeks ago. Things went well, good report. I mention it again now because I think so often what we kind of just move on. We move on to the next surgery as a church family, and let's pray for that person going through surgery. And yet recovery is sometimes just a daunting task. It's a wearying task. And so this might be a great week for you to just write a note of encouragement to Jan Croker. I don't think we need to inundate her with a whole bunch of phone calls. She needs rest when she needs rest. But just a mailbox full of cards this week just to be an encouragement to Jan. And then we can handle one more prayer request, can't we? Okay, that's only three, right? Our gospel partner, Matt Gass. We gave a sizable chunk to invest in a trip from ministry back to Tanzania to meet needs and serve the churches in Tanzania. If you remember, he used to be a part of a network of about 11 to 15 churches in Tanzania. Tanzanian government kicked out all the foreigners. Those churches are going through a really struggling time right now. Just economically, there's a shortage of food. There is some massive needs. And so Matt leaves tomorrow. I'm trying to do my time change in my head, which is while we sleep. But he leaves for Tanzania to take thousands of pounds of seed and food to the Tanzanian churches. And so I posted a video update from Matt this morning on our church Facebook page. You can watch that to get the specific prayer requests. So let's not be guilty of just tossing money to a situation and then forgetting about it. Our engagement goes far beyond that as we pray for the Gasses this week as they minister in Tanzania. All right, Hebrews 13, and let's pray to our God. Father God, very specifically this morning, we pray that you would teach us and that you would cause us to understand. Understand not just words on a page, but understand how truths impact our lives so that we would be today changed by your word in a change that we couldn't do on our own. A change that we are completely dependent upon your gracious working in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I finish my first prep for a sermon, I have a habit that I enjoy taking time to have somebody else preach to me the passage. There's a part of me that I want the passage preached to me before I stand before you to preach the passage. Not so I can copy down their sermon, but I want God's word in my life as well than me just studying it. And so Friday morning early, I sat down and I kind of searched for who I might listen to this week. And one of my old standbys is Alistair Begg. Many of you know Alistair Begg or know of him. Alistair has a habit where he's an encyclopedia of oldies. If you've heard him preach before, he will just quote old songs from back in the day, obscure songs. And there's part of me as I logged in to listen to Alistair, I said, you know what? Based upon my text, I bet Alistair has a song for this text. And he did not disappoint. He pointed back to an old song by a guy named Alan Price. Alan Price was part of the group Animals way before my time, but that might have just jogged some of you guys. Okay, some of your memories got jogged right now. Alan wrote a really obscure song named Changes. Everyone is going through changes. No one knows what's going on. And everybody changes places, but the world still carries on. Love must always change to sorrow, and everyone must play the game. It's here today and gone tomorrow, but the world goes on the same. Okay, those are some profound words. They can get you thinking. But to add a layer of significance to the song, that song was set to the tune, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm not going to try to sing that to prove it to you, but it works, okay? A song about everything in our world changing, about love moving to sorrow, about people changing and going to different stages of life. A song that repeats over and over again, everything's changing around us, is set to a tune about Jesus Christ being our friend. And I don't know if it means this, but there's this subtle push about a song that says everything changes, but let me sing to a tune that says there's somebody who doesn't change, Jesus Christ. And that is where Hebrews 13 is for us this morning. Hebrews 13, verse number 8, might be one of the most well-known verses in our study of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse or strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. To a group of Christians that this book was written to, living in a very changing world, they just got reminded that Jesus never changes. You don't know these people, but think about how much their world has changed over the last few months, just by the bits and pieces and the clues we get in this book of Hebrews. There are people reading that phrase who over the last few months, their world changed because they got driven out of their place of employment because they're a Christian. There are people reading this phrase about Jesus never changes, but some of them came home from a church service to find out their house was plundered. That's the word used in chapter 10. For people, there are loved ones that are not around their table that night because they're in jail because they follow Jesus Christ. How do people whose lives have just completely changed hear the phrase, Jesus doesn't change? I mean, there's so much in me that I mean, these are real Christians, so I don't think it's a stress to say, I think there's the temptations in those moments to wonder if Jesus has forgotten them. Has he changed? Is his love different for me today? How do you, with your big questions and your pondering about upcoming changes and your adjustments you have to make and your viewing of the world around you that is always changing, hear today the words, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, last time we were in Hebrews 13, I finished at verse number 6. I started by reading verse number 8, so some of you are going to come up to me afterwards if I don't say this and say, you skipped a verse, Pastor. You need to preach that verse. I did skip a verse, but I'm not ignoring it. Lord willing, in 2 Sundays, Doug Farrell is going to preach verse 7 and verse 17 together on the same Sunday for us. So we're going to gloss over that, but we'll come back to it, Lord willing. What we're here today with is a passage that pushes us to see a truth, a doctrine. If you're reading a theology book, you'd get the word immutability today. The unchangingness of God. Now, this is not the first time in the book of Hebrews he's mentioned this doctrine. In fact, if you read Hebrews, it's a masterclass of writing. Hebrews chapter number 1 begins with this doctrine. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up, talking about the heavens and the earth. Like a garment, they will be changed. But God, you are the same, and your years will have no end. So he begins this book with a foundational truth. Here is God, and God cannot change. He will remain the same. He will be constant. Even though the whole world around will change, God's the same. And then 13 chapters later, after calling the Christians to endure in their faith, to look to Jesus, who is better than anything else, he circles back to the same statement, Jesus Christ can't change. In your call to endure in your faith, make sure that your faith is in what will not change. And therefore, your faith does not have to change. Now, Jesus doesn't change. Verse 8, I'll say that a lot today, okay? But to say Jesus doesn't change, it is only significant, it's only unique, if everything else around it does change. Like if nothing changed, if nothing in our life ever changed, there'd be no point in saying that Jesus Christ doesn't change. If nothing in our life changed, it'd be a nightmare. It'd be like a really scary Truman Show kind of situation, right? If nothing changed. So by saying Jesus Christ changed, there is this other side of the equation that's referenced. We live in a world that changes. So just unpacking verse number 8, we're faced with this truth. The world changes, and that can be disturbing, to say the least. I could have picked a lot of words to go in that line, disturbing part. I referenced Hebrews 1, and Hebrews 1 makes that statement. The world will change, it'll get changed out, it will roll up like a scroll, but God will remain the same. So it's saying everything else will change, but here's God and he's constant. We live in a world that changes. Now, before you jump to agreeing to that statement and wishing for the good old days before everything changed and your life was really good, let's just pause for a second. Some changes are good. I am really, really thankful for the change that brought about indoor plumbing, right? Our houses have changed in the last several decades. I'm thankful for central air and central heat. Big changes, very popular with them. I am thankful that we changed away from shag green carpet and pink bathtubs. Big change. Really glad for that change. I'm glad for changes. You realize the average lifespan has gone up from 47 years old in 1900 to 77 years old. That's a good change for anybody over 47. Not me, but for you, that's a good change, right? And for all those changes behind that number, the educational changes, the work law changes, the food supply changes, transportation, that all lead to that. Those are good things. So I don't want to say the world changes and we all just roll our eyes and say, you're so right. It's horrible. By God's grace, there are some wonderful changes that we enjoy. But even all those changes put us in a world that can be so unstabling then. What do you rely on next year? It'll probably change. I mean, the adult that drives back to their grandparents' home or their childhood, only to realize that that home has been bulldozed and now there's a strip mall with half the stores empty. That can be an unsettling moment. Things change. On a grand world scale, nations come into existence. Nations fall. Borders are rewritten. This week, the world map changed. In some places by mere feet. As nationalities changed. Rulers come into power. Rulers fall. The landscape changes. Rivers carve new paths. Forests burn down. Stunning cliffs collapse on seashores. The world changes. We change. We're not the same person. My youngest son spoke to this week around the dining room table. We were talking and trying to assess school 7 weeks in. So I was asking a few questions and my youngest piped up and he said, you know what, Dad, in K-4, I was friends with, and he mentioned two boys' names. And he said, you know what, in K-5, they're mean. So now I'm friends with, and he gives three more names. People change. And my son might have been part of that change too. We change. And all those changes, positive and or negative, there is a trajectory to all those changes though. We could chart them out, and God's word is very clear where all those changes lead to. In fact, the phrase you can find in Scripture in 2 Timothy is things go from bad to worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That is worth considering right there because that was a pretty blanketed, emphatic statement, Christian. While evil people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, there's a trajectory to the change. Matthew 24 paints the picture of what it will all end up to. This is future tensed. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end's not yet. For nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Wherever that's pointing and whenever that comes into existence, that is change that I would not say is positive. That can be unsettling. If all we had were those changes, if all we had was life in an ever-changing world, where what we think we know changes the very next year, where the relationships we think we have and we can rely on change again, when places of income change, when our income itself changes, when our possessions change, when our abilities to function in this life change, if all we had was this, all this change, we would be doing life stuck upon one of those carnival scrambler rides in a wall of mirrors as we'd be jerked back and forth. Which is why it is such a comfort to get to the words in verse number 8. In all this change, they hear this statement, Jesus Christ is the same. He didn't change. In fact, he's the same he was yesterday. He's the same today. And he will be the same. I mean, that individual coming home, realizing that they're out of employment because they followed Jesus Christ, is now chewing on this phrase, today, no matter my employment changed, Jesus Christ didn't change today. He's still the same. That person not seeing their loved one in their home right now because they're in jail, chapter number 10. And home life is very much changed in that moment. Now here's a phrase, but Jesus hasn't changed. So the world changes, and that can be unsettling, that can be disturbing. But Christ doesn't change. And that is our firm foundation. Now, I heard a couple mumble amens. We had a Roth wedding here yesterday, which a bunch of people from the South came up. And Southern people, amen, okay? Which is good. Northern Baptist, you just head nod. I saw a couple head nods. You're in, Jesus doesn't change. Before we get there, just think about this for a second. To say Jesus doesn't change is only a good thing if Jesus is 100% perfect. If he is 99% perfect, the fact that he doesn't change would be devastating to us. I mean, when you talk about some of the people, we kind of use this phrase, you know, you can toss whatever name in you want. And you're like, oh, same old Susan. I mean, she's the same. Okay, that's not meant as a compliment, right? Usually that's meant as extreme derogatory because she just is the same stinker over and over again every year. And you come back to family get-together and you're like, yeah, it's Susan, you know her, and she's the same every year. Okay. Not a compliment. It is only a compliment if the person we're saying that about is perfect and we want them to remain perfect. So when we get to Jesus Christ, when we get to the statement, he's the same as he was yesterday and today and forever, that is only a smile on my face inducing if what he is yesterday is exactly what I want him to be today and what I need him to be for all of eternity. And it is. He's the same. He's the same he was yesterday. Let's just not do one yesterday and Saturday. Let's do thousands upon thousands of yesterdays. He's the same. Go back to a thousand of yesterdays to where Jesus Christ was moved with compassion as he looked at thousands of people because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Go back to a yesterday where Jesus Christ walks up a stony path up to a tomb where his friend is lying dead and he cries because of it. Today, Jesus Christ is the same compassion. The same emotion as he observed your life. And he will be that same tomorrow. Go back to the yesterday where Jesus Christ sees the physical need of a mass of people and will take bread and just keep on breaking bread to meet the physical needs of thousands upon thousands of people. Think about the yesterday where Jesus Christ has to put his disciples in their place and says, no, the little kids, yes, they can come. Like, they're really welcome here. That yesterday, he's the same. Today, he is the same, meeting needs, welcoming Jesus Christ. And that means tomorrow, he is the same, meeting needs and welcoming Jesus Christ that you will need tomorrow. Go back to a yesterday where Jesus Christ tosses out corrupt money changers out of the place of worship. Go back to any number of yesterdays where Jesus puts a bunch of pride-filled Pharisees tossing out gotcha questions in their place. Today, he is still the same righteous, angered against sin Jesus. And that won't change tomorrow. And most importantly, you go back to a yesterday where Jesus Christ hangs upon a cross. And in his moment of suffering, promises eternal glory to a thief next to him. Go back to a yesterday where he, as he dies, prays for the forgiveness of the sins of the individuals that in that moment are taking his life. Today he's the same. He's the same payment for sin that brings about forgiveness of sin for all those who put their faith and repentance in him alone. And he'll be that tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So no matter what I see Jesus Christ from all eternity past, from Old Testament moments of the angel of the Lord with Moses and holy ground, everything I see that Jesus Christ is still the same today, which makes me say, okay, then so what does that mean for me in this moment of life right now? It means Jesus Christ will be the same so we can rely upon him as the foundation of our life. Tomorrow. We live in a changing world, so I have no clue what tomorrow is for you. That's going to be a scary thought, okay? I think my tomorrow is my day off. I think I'm going to be in my wood shop working on some wood. I think I'm going to grade some papers. I might cook some food. We're going to celebrate a birthday. I have my plans. I don't know what tomorrow is. But I do know who Jesus Christ is tomorrow. I know exactly who Jesus Christ will be tomorrow. He is going to be tomorrow what he was today for me. My sufficient Savior, my ever-present help in a time of need. He will be that tomorrow. Whether it's 40 rainy and cold or whether it's 70 days and it's a perfect day, he'll be the same. You realize how different that is than every one of our other relationships? Okay, you who are married, who've done years upon years with the same person, are they the same every single day? You can say amen now. That's just fine to say amen, okay? It's just the truth, okay? They're not the same. I mean, your husband, your wife, your spouse, I mean, there's days you wake up and they're just, that's one of those days, right? You go into work. Is your boss the exact same person every single day? How many of you guys have had a boss that have told you to do one thing and the next week they tell you to do the exact opposite thing the next week? They change. How many of you guys have come into the office and one of your coworkers has said, watch out for Bob. It's just one of his days, okay? Just stay away. What they're trying to say, they're not the same person today. There is no day with Jesus where at any time will Jesus have to come to me and say, you know what? I just don't love you today. There's no time where Jesus will ever have to have one of those speeches like, you know, it's not you, it's me. I'm just kind of in a new stage of life. Because he's the same. And in fact, the only love that I could ever rely upon, the only love that I could ever lean upon and build my life upon is the love that cannot change. It will not change. The only love that is hopeful for me is a love that can be constant. You realize because I say Jesus Christ cannot change, there will never be a conversation between me and Jesus where Jesus will have to say, you know what? I did promise that. I know I promised that, but I'm kind of thinking about going in a different direction. Can't happen. He's the same. And because he is the same, I can rely upon him. I can trust in him. I can build my life on him. Because as the song goes, everything else is sinking sand. Everything else fluctuates. As the song I referenced in the beginning, love will turn to sorrow. It will change. It will. It will not with Jesus Christ. Yet so often in our life, what we attempt to do is we attempt to base our life on and build our life around what is not guaranteed to be there tomorrow. Your dollar bill in the back pocket is not guaranteed to be worth the same amount tomorrow. It will change. Maybe not to a point where you'll actually realize it, but it will change. The only thing that won't tomorrow is Jesus Christ. So what does this mean for us? It means that because of this truth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, that I can rely upon him. But just turning this over again, what does this mean for us? Because Jesus Christ is the same, it means that his teachings cannot change. Look down at verse number 9. I know I've kind of squeezed verse 8 out with meaning here, but verse number 9, I think just flows right in here. Do not be led away by diverse or strange teachings. For it is good for those, for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not been benefited those devoted to them. Now, I think these go hand in hand. They go together. One is saying, guys, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, forever. Because of that, don't get caught up in this newfangled teaching. Because Jesus Christ, the same, so this teaching can't be true because this isn't what Jesus Christ taught. The verse says, don't get led away. Don't get pulled away by what is, they mentioned, diverse and strange teaching. Diverse comes from the word that they would use to talk about some of the clothes you're wearing. Multicolored clothing is diverse. It's flashy. It's shiny. It catches your attention. Don't get caught up with that. Don't get caught up with what is, now you use the word strange. I think of strange, I think of like that is some whacked out teaching, okay? Strange is simply, it's different than what you've been taught. After 2,000 years of having the full revelation of God's word, that's what you have. Innovation in doctrine is not something we should look for. When we've gone through ordination councils here with different individuals, our gospel partner in China, I literally told him, you don't want to invent doctrine. In fact, originality is not good when it comes to doctrine. If we've had this for 2,000 years, I want to go back to what's been said for 2,000 years. In fact, as a pastor, when I'm studying and I'm kind of writing something out, and I realize, man, I haven't heard anybody else say this from this passage right here. It's a big red flag to me, like, I might be on some thin ice here. Now, will new generations who follow Jesus Christ wrestle with how their following of Jesus Christ will look like in their culture? Yeah. Will our churches look slightly different? Yeah. Our gospel partner headed to Tanzania is going to worship in some churches that are going to look different. I'm going to say that again in just a minute. Yes. Will Christians wrestle with and try to figure out some secondary doctrines and how we might differ in some different areas? And we do. We do this almost on a weekly basis. I have conversations. We wrestle with some of these issues. Yes. But is it clear from God's word who Jesus Christ is? And what he's done? And what he will do? Yes. And that will not change. Jesus Christ, God's only son, that will not change. Jesus Christ, God's only payment for sin, will not change. Jesus Christ as God's substitutionary atonement, that won't change. Salvation through Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone in Christ alone, will not change. Because Jesus Christ won't change. And so the call of verse number 9 is the immediate application of the passage. Because of this truth, verse number 8, then turn back. Don't get caught up on what is diverse, what is strange about teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look down at verse number 9, they had some strange teachings going on in verse number 9. It has something to do with food. Something that they thought might they eat and it would benefit them. That's as much as I can gather from verse number 9. And honestly, that's everybody I read, that's as much as they could gather. We have no clue what the food was. They were some sort of supernatural sacred menu being tossed about that said would benefit you and make you a stronger Christian. For all I know, they could have been saying, guys, if you eat bacon and donuts more often, you'll be a better Christian. Which is worth a try, right? I mean, we could go down that route. Amen? Yeah. I don't know. Most likely it's tied to Jewish festivals, diet habits that they were used to. But he's pushing back and saying, wait a minute, guys. Jesus Christ, it's about grace, not about what you eat. That's not going to change. I don't know what the next strange or diverse teaching will be. If you look at church history, if you even look in the last 30 years, there's been plenty of it. There's been new and strange, diverse teaching that would teach that we have gotten so off course of the truth that God had to send an angel to America to give us new revelation. And verse 89 says, Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday. And don't get caught up in something new. We've had the new teaching that's a repackage of the old teaching that says, just follow Jesus Christ because he wants to make you really, really have a better life this day, this week. That's really different and really strange hearing from a book that just said, guys, you're going to suffer persecution and it's going to get from bad to worse. I don't know what the next one's going to be. But the urge to you, church, is saying, know who Jesus Christ is, because that's not going to change tomorrow. So if this is what Jesus Christ is and this is what he's taught, then I build my life upon that. And I know what the truth is then. And I don't have to keep on searching for more truth, because I have it. What does this mean for us? Because Jesus Christ is the same, so following Jesus Christ is the same. Okay. There is always some temptation that we need to come up with a new way of following Jesus Christ, the new solution to make this better or easier or more meaningful. You know what following Jesus Christ means? It's the same he meant to his disciples. Anybody who wants to follow me, take up his cross and follow me. You know what it means to follow Jesus Christ? John 15 is the same as what he said thousands of years ago. Abide in me. That's what it means. It's basic. We keep doing the same thing. We say no to flesh through Jesus Christ's grace in our life. We walk in the Spirit through God's working in our life. Because Jesus Christ is the same for us today. Now. If I stop there, this would still be a rather hopeless sermon. Because what I would be left with is a world that I'm part of that is changing from bad to worse as it goes away from God. I'd be a part of a world like Romans 1, where they turn their back upon God and it just spirals lower and lower and lower. And so I'd be a part of a world that is changing in the wrong direction. And I'd be left with the truth that here's God and he doesn't change. And that would be a pretty hopeless way to end because I'm in desperate need of change. A change that I can't do on my own. Jeremiah 13 makes the reference, asks two rhetorical questions. We're supposed to answer no right away because they're just obvious. Can an Ethiopian change the skin color that he has? No. Can the cat leopard change his spots? Nope, can't happen. And then it makes the point that it's trying to make in the next statement. Then also you, can you do good who's accustomed to doing evil? Can you change? And it tells you what the change you need to do is. You, and I should say, we by nature are evil. We by nature are given to sin. We've made this statement over again. We learned this. We see it in our children. By nature, our kids grow up knowing what to do wrong is. They know it. They're hardwired with it. And the question then is, so then you who are used to doing evil, you who have been born evil, you who are born against God, going against God, can you do good? Now, if we answer the first two questions, no, it's leading us to answer the next question of, no, we can't. We can try harder. We can have more New Year's resolutions. But we can't change our nature. We can fix it up and make it look a little bit better, but we can't change who we are. We are by nature sinners. We are by nature spiritually dead. We can't change that. So here I'm stuck in this situation where I see a world that is changing, but the change is based upon their nature of evil going farther down, which I'm a part of. And I have a truth that here's God and God can't change. And I'm stuck changing. Can't changing the thing I actually need to change, my nature. Which is why I said, if I stop here, this is hopeless. But then there's Ezekiel 36. Because God is in the changing business. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in you. And I'll remove a heart of stone from your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will change you. See, an unchanging Jesus Christ takes on a personhood in a way that makes my head hurt. An unchanging Jesus Christ goes from God's spirit to God, human flesh, he changes. That's why Christmas is so miraculous. And an unchanging Jesus Christ takes on the form of a human being so that he could change you and me. He could change us from being dead to sin to being alive to sin. He could change us from having a heart of stone, hard to God, to having a heart of flesh that is alive to God. He could make us new creations in him. He could change us. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. You've been changed. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Christian, you have been changed. You are not what you used to be. Not because you tried really hard, not because you strove with a bunch of spiritual tasks and checked them all off. You have been changed because God's grace has been poured into your life through Jesus Christ's death upon the cross. And you are not what you were. You're a new creation. Not a fixed up old version of what it used to be. Not to put out the next model, we just kind of make a couple alterations and the next new model of the car rolls out and we say, hey, look, new car. It looks like a lot like last year's car. You are a new creation. Now I know that there are days where the new Luke love feels a lot like the old Luke love. Right? There are days where we hear new creation and we don't feel very new. We feel very broken down spiritually. with the same struggles we would have had if we weren't a Christian. And in fact, if some days I think we actually have more struggles. There are some days we cry out, how can I change? I've tried, it doesn't work. In fact, next year we're going to start the year wrestling with that question of how do we change spiritually? We're going to do several weeks just trying to answer that question. How is change even possible for us as Christians? How do we change? Christian, the same Jesus who has made me a new creation is the same Jesus that is working in my life to change me today. I'm still being changed. There are some days that the change work that God is doing in my life are pruning shears that are just whacking off whole limbs of my life. And there are some days where the work that God's doing in my life is more like 220 sandpaper, grit sandpaper, just kind of smoothing off some rough edges. But he's changing me. I am not what I used to be, but I am not what I will become. And God is still working in my life. And I know I can make application to push us to saying, okay, we need to be faithful to this and we need to walk this way. But really push the application to saying, God is going to complete the work that he has begun in you. He has changed you. He is changing you. And he will get it to completion and you'll be fully changed. And that will happen, Christian. So don't give up. God has done a work in you. This unchanging Jesus Christ is in the business of changing you. And there are times where we feel like we are the same person with the same struggles, with the same defeats that we had last week, and we're going to have them again next week. I mean, there are days where we can hear Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can say, yeah, and the sin struggles are the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God is doing work in us. This immutable God, by God's grace, is working in us mutable people for our benefit to change us. So hold on. Have hope. Don't give up. Do you hear that call to a bunch of Hebrew Christians who are ready to wave a white flag because they've been struggling for a long time? And they are weary. You hear that call for some individuals who have seen the changes in their life and they don't like it. And it's easy in those moments to say, wait a minute here. I think Jesus Christ maybe forgot about us. Maybe they didn't use the word change, but they just made a statement about him changing. And I think he's kind of moved on in a different direction. Maybe he's not really about blessing us anymore. And it's easy to think about God's changed on me. To you this week who you've had your life change and it has scared you. To you this week who have watched the world around you change even more and it has sobered you. To you this week who you sit down and your mind runs to a whole bunch of potential changes that you are just scared of in your life coming down the road. Jesus Christ hasn't changed and he'll be the same tomorrow for you that he has been for you. But you, Christian, who cry out like Paul does in Romans, I want to do things and then I don't do what I want to do. And I don't want to do these things and I don't do those things. And is there any hope? Yes. Because an unchanging Jesus Christ is in the business of changing us by his grace for his glory. You will be changed, Christian. That work will be completed by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. And so we thank you for your word, God. Would you cause us to understand it? We need it. Would you strengthen faith today that was weary walking in? Would your spirit work encouragement in hearts that desperately need it today? Would you change and give life to individuals today who are blind and dead? In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.